All Soccer Meats, now located right in the metro area, South Veterans Boulevard in Fargo, and originally out of Audubon, Minnesota, gives you an opportunity to get some meat-related questions answered. You're wondering about cuts, rubs. I got questions in about the State Department of Health. Do they come in and surprise you, or do they give you a heads up? Casings on a variety of things, and so on and so forth. You got questions, he's got answers. Spencer Worth, the meat dude, joining us right now on KFGO. Spence, hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing all right. A day ahead of myself most of the week, so I thought we were having this conversation yesterday. It sounded like in your little interaction with Eric that you felt the same way. Did you forget today was Thursday?
I did. I've kind of had a weird whirlwind of a day, and then I look at my phone, and it says KFGO's calling, and then I was like, it's Thursday.
It is. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Because sometimes you're a day ahead or a day behind.
Well, it's always great when I get to talk to Eric.
Well done. That does it for this week's edition of the Meat Dude Spencer Ward. We'll check in next Thursday. Well, I'm going to really drill you now on some of the questions. You just walked right on into this. 35270. Do you, Spencer Ward, have you ever had a butcher shop that gets a surprise visit from the State Department of Health? If so, what are they looking for? What have you done that has triggered somebody to come in and say, I need to see the books?
Well, so you gotta kind of understand how, which authority has regulatory needs in a facility. So, for instance, the health department is in charge of retail shops. State-inspected facilities is the North Dakota Department of Ag. Custom exempt facilities is North Dakota Department of Ag, but if they also have their retailer's license, then that would fall under their local county health department. We are a federally inspected wholesale meat processing facility with no retailer's license, so the health department does not come to our facility because there's no reason to. Everything we do is regulated by the USDA FSIS. We have an inspector here every day from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a little different. You know, it's just dependent on whose jurisdiction and what type of licensing you have and what your business model is and things like that. So not much that I've ever interacted with the health department, but with North Dakota Department of Ag and then USDA, that's more where I are. Everything I've done over the past, 12, 13 years has been within that realm.
So. You ever get that tap on your shoulder and then that guy stand there and said, hey, you ought not do it that way?
No, you know, and people, our customers will come in and pick up halves or quarters or holes or whatever, and they see the inspector with his white helmet that says USDA on it. And, you know, it's a different, in a
what's
small
he doing
facility.
Here?
Yeah, in a small facility like this, it's just a different relationship that you have to have with your inspector because you are one-on-one 24/7. He's here to validate that what we're doing, what I'm saying we're doing is correct, and we're already doing all the things necessary to produce, safe product. He's just there to validate it.
So is it just my observation, or does he get to test the product?
Well, both. So I obviously have testing protocols in place where we're testing for any pathogens, part of our food safety program. And then USDA also side-by-side does testing as well. Everything you do is verified and validated, and I like using big words. It makes me think. It sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but
keep
everything, I'm trying. Everything is tested and approved. And yep.
Okay, then we're moving right along. Tyler, question for the meat dude. What are the casing of hot dogs and sausage made of?
Well, hot dogs, 90% of the time, don't have a casing on them. They are actually stuffed in a fibrous casing that after cooking is peeled off. Now, like your ring sausage, you got a couple different options. You have natural casing, which would be pork intestines. You can also do a collagen casing, which is collagen rendered from beef products that's rendered down, reformed into you know, whatever size you want. You can find all sorts of different sizes of collagen casings. Then that product is stuffed in there. That's edible. That's permeable. That's good to go. That's like snack sticks. And what comes to mind when you think of a collagen casing, most snack sticks are in a collagen casing. Past that, that's pretty much your options. You can do like small diameter for breakfast links into a natural casings. Those would be lamb intestines. Beef, they're called beef rounds. Beef intestines are used for some specialty products. Most beef rounds, they're called, which is confusing because there's also the primal round in beef, but those are so thick that most of the time they're peeled off the product before the product is ate. But those are kind of the big three: fibrous, collagen, and natural are kind of the big three casings.
Somebody comes in and wants me to let you know, Tyler, let the meat dude know that verified and validated aren't big words. Are not big words. So you say, I like to use big words.
Good.
It's like, come on, man. That ain't big.
Well, they're big words. They're big words to me.
Yeah,
okay?
For you, a little out the New Salem. Okay. I saw this post online. Somebody said, hey, look, I forgot this, and I don't remember what type of meat it was. It doesn't matter. But it got me wondering this question because we talk about the things that impact the process that, all right, this is now not safe to eat. And we've talked at length about vacuum sealing and how that makes such a big difference in freezer, the shelf life, all of that. This person was saying, hey, I had a vacuum sealed meat. I don't remember what kind, and you can let me know if that does matter here. But they didn't remember to put it in the fridge. They had it on the counter, and then they left it out and were gone, I don't know, for however long. Does it slow the process of spoiling if you even leave it on the counter, but it is still in a very good vacuum seal?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, no oxygen in the environment will drastically change the rotting per se of product. No matter what it is, obviously beef versus pork versus chicken, all three of them just by themselves drastically different ball games, but product under vacuum will deter slower under zero oxygen compared to something exposed to oxygen.
So if it just is warming up, let's say it gets to room temp and it's in room temp for 24 hours, would you feel comfortable eating it or not?
No. Probably not.
Okay.
Because there's still a time limit, right? There's still, it's mm-hmm. still, I mean, we can get really scientific here, but you know, it's a microbe. So most microbes are aerobic, so they need oxygen. So if there isn't oxygen available, they're probably not going to grow, but you're still putting in an environment, that danger zone that we've all been taught since we were young and hopefully high school, you took some kind of, right, home ec. I think everybody had to, maybe not.
Watch Top
but,
Gun,
that danger zone of 50 degrees to 130 where bacteria thrive and grows rapidly, that's the danger zone for a reason. Even if it's under vacuum, it's still, there could be some anaerobic bacteria in there that are doing some things that you don't want it to.
Doing some damage in the danger zone. Question comes in for you. Can't get collagen casings to stick to meat and beef sticks. Can they be made without any casings?
Beef sticks,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, you could, there's lots of tools out there that will shoot, meat into sticks that you just lay on a rack instead of hanging. So it really just depends on the tool that you use. If you're stuffing off of a horn and need to put it into a casing, or if you have the certain tool in your arsenal to stuff it into, long sticks that don't need to be hung. The getting collagen to stick to meat, that just sounds like a binding issue in your sausage. So whether you need to increase your mixing time a little bit or look at your ingredients and what you're putting into it, if there's needs to be a little more salt to get some protein extraction, that might help too to get your casing to stick to it, because you need to get that bind created, that protein extraction, so stuff will stick together.
Very good. Additional advice, if you want to go ahead and try it again with the collagen casings, he's just giving you how to do just that. Tyler, question for the meat dude. Do you make the old-fashioned blood sausage like they would make in cloth bags years ago?
I sure don't. I've made blood sausage one time in my life, and I swore after eating it that I'd never eat it again.
Describe what was the final straw for you in the blood sausage.
Flavor, texture. I'm a big texture guy, right? And it just wasn't. It wasn't there. It wasn't it.
So you're out at the hunting shack, and your uncle brings out the blood sausage. You'd rather just forego.
Well, gosh, I gotta try it, right? But I'm gonna be honest and say that if I like it or not, chances are I'm not gonna.
So. Okay. Well, that person wanted to know, and now they do. Spencer, I always appreciate it, man. I'm gonna let you go early this week. We'll do this again next Thursday. All right.
Sounds great.
Take care. I look forward to visiting with you next week, even if you don't care to talk to me on Thursdays at 2:15. All right.
Sounds great.
All right. Bye, Spencer Ward. He's the meat dude. Brought to you by Allsager Meats. That's why I'm forced to talk to him, because Josh Allsager and the crew said, you know what? Get that guy on. He knows a thing or two. And if people got questions, he's got answers. You can go buy your meat down at Allsager Meats on South Veterans Boulevard, or, of course, if you're heading out east, Ottoman right on Main Drag. The new and improved frontal of that store is now open as well.